You know, I want to start today by expressing a big thank you for all of you to come up to the meeting today. I've got a 15-year-old at home, and you know, he believes that the entire world exists on YouTube in a virtual world. So, you know, it's harder and harder to get people to come up to a live presentation. So here you take the time on your busy day, so I appreciate that. So a big thank you to you guys. And as usual, we have an advisory on forward-looking statements, but I've taken some liberties today. Usually it's really fine print. I thought I'd just be really plain and simple and tell you that I'm going to talk to you about PETA today. I'm going to talk about natural gas prices today. I'm going to try and be as honest with you as I can possibly be. And likely, if I make a prediction of the future, it's going to be all wrong. But how about in exchange for my honesty, you're not going to hold it against me? That might do. So today I want to talk to you guys about the PETO difference, and Don alluded to it earlier. I think PETO really is a different kind of company, but to tell you about it, I have to tell you a little story. I recently had an interview with a reporter doing a business magazine piece, Amanda, I think her name was, and she was doing it on natural gas companies, and so she heard, you know, PETO was this natural gas company that was doing well, and a low natural gas price environment. And so she thought she'd find out a little more about us. Well, you know, she did a bit of homework and she read through a lot of our materials. And I was talking to her, she said, you know, you guys are really different. I've looked at a lot of energy companies. I don't see any other energy company that's like PETO. She said, you know, I've come to the conclusion that you guys are different. And you know, I think she's right. I think PETO is different. And I think we're different for a bunch of reasons. For one, PETO is a real business. And yeah, we're a business in the oil and gas industry, but a business all the same. But you know, it's sometimes hard to define that term. And so I looked it up on Google, and I did a Google search of business, and I got these colorful pictures, you know, and I get, you know, we get pictures of graphs that go up. Well, actually, we have those in our presentation. You get pictures of smiling, happy, beautiful workers. We have some of those too. Especially on a day like today when they're all dressed up. You get pictures of people gathered around computers and boardroom tables, busy working away, and sure, yeah, as a business, we have that too. You get pictures of joyous CEOs tossing their briefcases in the air because gas prices hit $3. Finally shaved my rally beard off. You know, we might even get that eventually, but none of these pictures really tells us what business is about. I mean, I always thought business was about this stuff, making money. For sure, that's the business that PETO is in, making money from oil and natural gas. So I guess the question is, how does PETO make money? And I think we make money in very simple terms, five words. We produce it for less than we sell it in order to generate a profit. That's it. That's how we make our money. And it's just like any other successful business in any other industry. Whether you're making airplanes or computers or soda pop or software, produce it for less than you sell it, and you make money. Big surprise. Which is exactly what we did in 2011. For example, if you look at our 2011 numbers, we spent $2.12 to build it, each MCF of production. We spent $1.35 to produce it out of the ground, and we sold each one for $5.47. Generating $2 of profit, or 37% of the sales price. Seems pretty straightforward, right? And when I say to build it, I'm using all the capital that we spent in the year. So every dime that we spent that changed the producing reserves, the PDPFDNA. So in 2011, we had a record year. We spent $379 million in shareholders' capital. We spent it on land. We shot seismic, and we drilled wells, we completed those wells, we built well site facilities, we built big gas plants with that money. All of the capital that we spent for shareholders, that $379 million. And for that, we added about 30 million barrels of producing reserves. And producing reserves, of course, are the good kind. Those are the kind that are already built and on production. Those are the kind that don't require any more capital. You know what you've got. And those are the kind that generate cash flow. And that's pretty important. What we're all at. And sure, you know, in this, there's some future costs embedded in here. You know, land that we've bought that we haven't drilled yet, seismic that we've shot that we haven't used yet. But there's some sunk costs in here, too. You know, we're using some facilities that we built in the past, and we're using some pipelines perhaps that we built in the past. But that's what we spent. And really, when you look at our historical spending, the percentages in each category are very in line with history. You know, 7 or 8% on land, 1 or 2% on seismic, 75% or so on wells, and 15 to 20% on facilities. And over our history, this annual cost to build it has changed with time, as of course service costs have changed, and as the place that we develop has changed. But the one thing that remains the same is that we've consistently built it for far less than what we're selling it for. And then there's the cost of producing. We can't forget about those costs either. And again, I'm including all the costs both out in the field and here in Calgary. We've got the royalties to pay to the Crown. We've got all the lease operating expenses of the costs in the field. We've got transportation. We've got the G&A that the company's covering. We've got the interest that we have to pay. All of the cash costs rolled up in one bucket totaled $1.35 an MCFE in 2011. And yeah, over our history, this total production cost has changed too. Thankfully, lately, it's changed for the better, with $1.35 of total cash costs being some of the lowest we've ever achieved. But by controlling these two pieces, the cost to build it and the cost to produce it, that's how Peyto makes its money. Seems like a pretty straightforward answer. Except that for the rest of our industry, it's way more challenging than that. Out of the 20 or so intermediate-sized companies that I track that are in our Canadian E&P industry, their average cost to build it last year was $4.20 an MCFE, or in different units, $25 a BOE. Their average cost to produce it out of the ground last year was $23.50 an MCFE. Or sorry, $23.50 a BOE, or $3.91 an MCFE. And even though they had more liquids than us, and so on average they sold their production for more than we did at $7.89 an MCFE or $47 a barrel, they didn't actually build it and produce it for less than what they sold it for. It cost them more, which means they lost money. And isn't that kind of the opposite of what business is supposed to be about? And you know, 2011 wasn't an anomaly. The year before was actually worse. And the year before that was just as bad. So we've got a bit of a trend here, folks. And yet, for Peyto, every year, I'm going to say we've been successfully in business, we've made money, generating somewhere between 35 and 40% profit each and every year. So being a business that makes money is, surprisingly, something that makes Peyto very different from the rest of our industry. And, you know, this is something this young Amanda picked up on right away when she was looking at it. But Peyto's assets are also very different from many others, and that sets us apart. You know, and maybe not so much what they look like. I mean, everybody can show you pictures. A lot of E&P companies can show you pictures of pipelines and well sites and facilities that they own. But there are some things about Peyto's assets that really are different. For one, we built them all ourselves. So we know that they are the very best, most efficient, most environmentally friendly that we could possibly make. And that is different. I know of no other company in our industry that's our size whose entire asset base was built by them. And we control them, again, at a level unlike any other company in our industry, at least that I know of. We operate 99% of our production. 98% of our production is processed in one of our gas plants, which we also own, operate, and control. And we do this on purpose, because this is the only way that we know to be in control of our costs. Remember, that's how we make our money. We control our costs. And there's a reason that all of our assets are in Deep Basin, too. We built them there on purpose, because that's where we can build the lowest cost production, and therefore make the most money for our shareholders. So our asset base is different too. Very concentrated, built, owned, controlled by us, so that we can control our costs in order to make money. But you know, folks, one of the biggest and the best assets that we have at Peyto is our people. And I'll dare say that our people are different too. And I mean that in the very best sense of the word. And it's a small, technically focused, efficient team of professionals that we have at Peyto. All of them with a common goal that is perfectly aligned, with those of our shareholders. See, like I said, on the Google search, you got a smiling hat. And because we've built all our assets ourselves and because our people are so efficient, we get away with a very few amount of people for a very large amount of operated production. As most of you in this room have probably heard me say in the past, we have the best gas to ass ratio. And you know, it's been truly amazing what this little team has been able to accomplish. Doubling the company's production over the last 2.5 years, and all of it using basically our cash flow, and all of it organically, we went out and built it. So I think a big part of what makes Peyto different are the people in this room. And our people are not only different, they're making a difference. They're making a difference for Peyto and its shareholders. Because for shareholders, Peyto is all about profits. That's why we're shareholders, every one of us in this room. But as shareholders, we can only buy stock in Peyto. You know, we're not Audrey McClendon, who can't participate in the wealth themselves. So even though as a company, we can generate a very nice rate of return on the capital we put to work, and we break that down and show you every year, as shareholders, we don't get to participate in that, at that level, right? What we get is what's left over after all the corporate costs have been taken off. So the only profit or the return that we get to see is the return on capital, the return on equity, the rate of return on our investment in Peyto. And sadly, for most companies in our industry, these are non-existent because you have to generate earnings to have these kind of profits. But at Peyto, our profits are different too. They're big and they're real because we are a business that makes money. So being a business that makes money, generates real returns for shareholders, makes Peyto very different from the rest of our industry. And thankfully, we're not going anywhere. Unlike many companies whose sole goal is to be sold, we don't need an exit strategy. Something else that little Amanda picked up on. We have long life assets that are going to last, folks, significantly more than the rest of the industry. So time is on our side. And we have a large portion of reserves that haven't been developed yet. So we've got a lot of work to do still. And with a successful track record of profitably investing shareholder capital and drilling wells, developing reserves, that's exactly what we're going to keep on doing. We're just going to keep on drilling. And now we've got new technology that's helped unlock even more of these tight sandstone reservoirs that we're developing in the Deep Basin. We have even more locations to drill. In fact, at last count, we had well over 10 years of drilling inventory. It looks like the one I have at home on the fridge, the Peyto to-do list keeps getting longer and longer and longer. And you know, when I say time is on our side, I really mean that. In fact, you know, it's one of the reasons that I sleep so well at night, having all of my network tied up in Peyto. When you look at the difference in the value between what most people value our producing assets at and what we're ultimately going to get from them, there is a huge gap. A big gap that's realized just by waiting. And for $3 billion, I can be pretty patient. And it's just one more thing that makes Peyto different. At Peyto, we've got an extra 66% of our producing value that's just waiting to be realized with the passage of time. That's over $20 of embedded time value per share. And another thing that endears me to Peyto. So Peyto truly is a different type of energy company. And in so many ways, we've got a stacked hand. We've got a real business that makes money with assets that we've built and with great people that can keep on building them for a long time. And what is this difference really got us? You know, it's got us a different kind of shareholder too. One that's partnering with us for the long term. One that understands the value that we can create. One that's not interested in us doing a quick flip and selling out, because where else can he find a real business that generates returns over and over and over again to invest in? And that shareholder, as many of you in this room, who joined in with the Peyto strategy on day one, and you're still with us today. And you know what? I can't predict the future any better now than I could back in 2006. I showed you this graph back in 2006, and I said the same thing. I said, we're going to just keep on drilling. Keep on investing shareholders' capital. Keep on building the same way we always do. And it didn't really pan out the way I thought it would. But you know, in a lot of ways, it panned out better than we ever thought possible. And now, ladies and gentlemen, maybe that really is the true Pareto difference. That our reality tends to eclipse any story that we might tell about our future potential. Now, I did say I talked to you about natural gas prices today. And these days, there's so many factors pushing natural gas prices up, pulling them down. I mean, you know, on the upside, we've got all this coal to gas switching that's going on, increasing gas consumption for power generation. You know, we've got transportation fuel being considered, natural gas being considered as transportation fuel. Even us at Pareto, we're going to be converting over our drilling rigs, and converting over our trucks to natural gas. We're getting in the act. We've got those steep declines, obviously, on the shale plays to contend with that are much deeper than before. We've got all these LNG projects for export that are on the books to tap into these Asian markets that are much higher than today. You know, and there's always the weather factor. In North America, it's always a weather factor. You know, it's going to be a hot summer, and there's going to be a lot of air conditioning burning, electricity that's generated from natural gas. And then on the other side, we've got, you know, this warm winter to deal with, this storage, excess storage that we've got, 800 BCF of storage that we've got. We've got all the shale plates with their lower supply costs. We've got new technology helping to unlock these resources and lower supply costs. Yeah, and for now, we don't have the export capacity to be able to get better prices somewhere else in the world, and then there's always the weather, you know, it could be a cool summer. But I think, in my mind, when I factor all of these things in, it's probably pretty likely that Alberta natural gas prices are going to settle back in around that 350 a gigajoule mark pretty soon, as soon as we take care of this fourth warmest winter on record that created the storage glut. Maybe with the fourth warmest summer on record, would that be good? Maybe not so good for Brian down in Texas, but we would like that up here in Alberta. And, you know, while 350 isn't a great price relative to one we've seen over the last decade, remember what we can do with 350 gas. You know, with our heat content and our natural gas lift, liquids lift, we turn 350 into something north of 550. And with our cost structure, into 40% profit. I'd say give me 350 gas all day long. Now, as I showed you, it doesn't work so well for the rest of the Canadian industry, but it works just great for us. But even if natural gas prices don't get back to that 350 level that works so well, you know, with our cost structure, with our assets, with our ingenuity, we'll just milk a little more revenue out of our production. The propanes, the butanes, the condensates, they're all worth more as a liquid than as a gas. If you look at the price conversions, they're all greater than 6 to 1, so we can sell them as a liquid for much more than a gas. By modifying our facilities, we can reduce the processing temperatures from minus 35 to minus 80 degrees C. We can convert all those to natural gas liquids and make more money. And so the cheap packs that I've talked about in the past that we're putting in at Old Man and Nose Hill and Wild Bee plants, they'll do just that for us. So we've got some measures that we can take to insulate us from these lower natural gas prices. You know, I want to leave you with one final thought today. Even with natural gas prices where they are, as Don talked about, the future of Pareto has never looked better. And for me, you know, remember how our reality always tends to completely eclipse any story we can think of for the future of Pareto? And that's an amazingly exciting thing. Because with all of the things that makes Pareto so different, and than all these other E&P companies in our industry, and with all the opportunities that we have to make money for our shareholders, I can envision a pretty exciting story for Pareto. I mean, can you imagine how spectacular the reality is going to have to be to eclipse that? I can't wait to see that. Anyway, that's enough of me. Thanks again for coming today. We've got some refreshments out the back, and I would be happy to answer any questions.